Nike's campaign has players Kaepernick at its center. Do you think that this move was to promote the message of his protest or just a calculated way to make profits?
That's a great question. And I don't know that we have to disentangle it like that. I think probably what Nike is looking at is a good business case. I was listening to you on your lead-in, and you mentioned that they had a 31% increase in sales over the past weekend. I think we can disaggregate that a little bit. It was the beginning weekend of the NFL that probably accounted for a lot of that bump in sales. But I do think that they're thinking our consumers, most of whom are under 35, are younger, they're blacker, they're more global than the people who might be protesting. So they're making, a very calculated long-term move to try to change their reputation as a company that previously had maybe violated human rights to a company that now is a strong supporter of them. But I'm certain that the people involved in this Nike campaign probably also believe what Colin Kaepernick is saying. I mean, there are probably people buying into his, I think, very powerful message about, a strong stand against racial injustice.
Now, Nike, I should say, does have a history of famous adverts. Has there been anything quite like this before, though?
I can't think of anything quite so political. I mean, certainly, they've made many memorable ads, but if you think back to the 90s and Michael Jordan, Nike was adverse to becoming quite so political. And Michael Jordan famously, if perhaps apocryphally, said, "Republicans buy sneakers too." In wading into the Kaepernick issue, Nike addressed an issue that, as you mentioned, is divided Americans. Supporters of the president feel like Kaepernick is attacking members of the military, and they likened his sacrifice, quote unquote, as they would say, to the sacrifice of Pat Tillman, an American member of the NFL who left his career in the professional football leagues to serve in Afghanistan and was killed in 2004, I believe. They say that's the real sacrifice. But supporters of Kaepernick, I think, rightfully point out to the fact that he hasn't played a game in the NFL now in over a year, even though he's quite an excellent quarterback.
Yeah, and he actually, I guess, to an extent, he kind of sacrificed his career, to make that stand, or should I say, take that knee.
He's not the only one. His teammate, Eric Reed, who joined him in kneeling in San Francisco in 2016 and at the start of 2017, has also not been re-signed by any teams in 2018.
Oh, wow. I guess it kind of alludes to the politicization of sport. And it is a bit something that's quite new as well, with Tommy Smith and John Carlos Black Power salute of the 68 Olympics seemingly, I guess, starting that crossover. Have we seen this trend take off?
I think people talk about, academics, I should say, talk about waves of politicization in sport, and we might think of this as even the fourth wave. You can go back to Jesse Owens in the 36 Olympics to find examples of politicization of sport, but certainly it seems like something different is happening now, not just the fact that we're talking about individual moments. I mean, Carlos and Smith, and we can't forget Peter Norman, the Australian, was also there in Mexico City in 68. That was a powerful moment, a stand in the civil rights era. But it feels like almost every day we're hearing about another athlete taking a stand against racial injustice, in favor of LGBT rights, against the exploitation of children. It just feels like something different is happening, and now politics and athletics have been linked in maybe a new way.
I guess the byproduct of it can be, more people are connected to these political and social issues. Does political and social issues conveyed through sport make it a bit more accessible for people, do you believe?
I think so. I think, people, and not just because we tend to idolize our athletes, but people see athletes as heroes in some cases. And now with the advent of social media, we have more access to them than we ever had before. Previously, a lot of this had been mediated through through journalists such as yourself or through agents or advertisers. But now, if I want to know what LeBron James thinks about Donald Trump, I just follow his tweets. And then I know that he doesn't think very much of him, right? So athletes are also communicating with us in new ways.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess there have been a lot of political movements coming from the sports world. Do these ever actually lead to results and change?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think we can look at some of the dwindling kneeling protests in the NFL and ask real questions about how much that movement has changed. I mean, certainly it's created a conversation. I don't think we'd be talking about this quite as much if Colin Kaepernick hadn't first sat on the bench and then after talking with a former soldier who said it would be more respectful to kneeling. I don't think we'd be having that conversation. But I don't know that the situation in the U.S. is much better. A police officer in Texas this weekend killed an African-American man in his own home when the police officer inadvertently entered that man's home thinking it was his home. So I think we can still ask some real questions about how people of color are treated by the police in the United States and whether the criminal justice system needs real reform and if this protest has done enough to create real change.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess just quickly before we have to end it, Serena Williams had a bit of a tumultuous time at the US Open, claiming that men and women players are treated differently in the sport. Can you, I guess, talk us through that maybe outburst of anger that she might have had?
Well, I noted that Sydney Morning Herald had an interesting article about this just yesterday from a former referee. So I defer a little bit to former referees, but I do think that Serena was pretty roughly treated. I think she first got a warning
for the coaching,
yeah. Right, which is something that basically, as I understand it, almost everyone does. Then she had a point fault for just smashing a racket, and then a game penalty for arguing with the chair. And I think you've seen Serena have run-ins with umpires before, but it's pretty fair to say, I'd say, that male tennis players also have their outbursts. Even Roger Federer had a famous outburst not too long ago, and of course Djokovic had one in the U.S. Open this year, and neither of them faced game penalties. John McEnroe, as far as I know, only had one his entire career, and Serena Williams just seemingly gets penalized again and again and again. I don't know what that is about. She, of course, claims it has to do with sexism, and I think there's probably something to be said about that, but I don't know enough about this particular umpire to know.
Yeah, I think there's definitely something there that can be, I guess, looked under the microscope to look where it might have been coming from and where it was directed. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us today, Doctor, to talk about the Nike campaign as well. So, yeah, it was great to hear your insights into it.
Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
You too.